Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, my name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson. I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and I'm Margaret Hask. I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And we're talking about back to school.
Yeah, here we are.
It came fast, didn't it?
It came very fast. It was a quick summer.
So what does it look like at your library during back to school time?
Well, so over the summer, we have a couple of major events. For kids, we have 2 weeks of summer camp, which is a big endeavor. And we keep up our storybook hour through July. And then, but for adults, things go pretty quiet. We don't do a whole lot of activities for adults in the summer because there are lots of other things to do and they want to be outdoors. And it just seems like we won't get the audience that we want. So we let things kind of go quiet a little bit. So when September starts, everything really revs back up again. The children's programs, the adults programs, and the library gets very, very busy again.
It's kind of funny. We're almost the exact opposite. Our summers are quite busy for adults and kids. There's usually like one or two adult programs that just didn't hit the mark for whatever reason. But for the most part, we have more people in town than we normally do in the colder months.
Right.
So
yeah.
As it gets closer to September, all of a sudden everyone starts going on vacation and getting ready for school, and it just started, all of a sudden everyone just disappears.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah. So September's our quietest month. We try to do a couple things later in the month, hoping that people are now getting used to their new schedules and getting back into the swing of things. But we're hearing crickets occasionally. So we've just started to get tutors back in. I was like, wow, that was fast. But that's always kind of exciting because it usually means that they're coming, you know, things are getting back to normal or ready for the fall.
Right. We have our after-school art program started up again this past week. And that's really nice. We have an art program, obviously. The kids who go to the Cornwall school can take the school bus here, which is really handy for parents, so they don't have to pick them up and drop them off here. So that's really nice. And the kids love it. We limit it to 14 kids because it gets pretty crazy, really, with that many kids in the building. And then we've started our storybook hour again. We took a break from that for August. And we're going to experiment, I think, with a Lego club once a month after school. A lot of libraries do that, and it seems to be very popular. Do you do a Lego club?
We do. We do something similar with the Weepatuck school system, where they will have a bus bring kids here. We have a little bit of a smaller space for kids, so we can usually accommodate about 10. But if parents are welcome to also bring their kids to it, as well as with the Weepatuck kids, so if they're usually closer to like 14, and it alternates. I think it was usually on a 5-week schedule, and we take 1 week off, and then they start coming back again. Mm-hmm. That starts probably at the end of September, where everyone's still getting their footing over there, so we haven't scheduled it yet. But in the past, it's been Lego Club, and then it was a board game group. I think this year we're going to try to start rotating in a graphic novel book club.
Nice. Yeah. Did you do that once a week?
They will do it for once a week for, I think, 5 weeks.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
don't quote me on that, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. It'll be fun to see if we can get them, because they're already excited about comic books. So I was like, let's see if they can get excited about talking about comic books together.
Right, good idea. And then our adult activities have already taken off. We had an author talk by Nathan Kernan. He wrote a biography of James Schuyler, a poet, and we had such a good response that we had to move to a larger venue, which is really a nice thing to have happen. We had about 110 people come to that event, which was
Oh my goodness.
Spectacular. It's a lot for us. We We get those kind of numbers for art openings, but for author talks, we don't usually go much over 70. But this one really was very popular. And I was pleased and surprised because it was a poet and not, you know, not a very famous poet, not one, you know, every person would know. But we got a wonderful response, and people were really happy to be there. It was great. And then we're starting up an art class for adults again, and we're having an art opening of sculpture by Neil Estern, who was a very, very prominent sculptor. He died in 2019. He lived in Cornwall. He did the big FDR statue on the Mall in D.C. So he did a lot of big commission work like that, and we have small pieces that he did. It's beautiful work. It's really spectacular to have here. So it's a lot. We're doing all of that this month.
That does sound like a lot. I'm so impressed about the and a poet talk getting 100 people to come. I feel like poetry is having a little bit of a resurgence in our area because people are actually, like, asking for it at the library and not just Emily Dickinson.
Wow, yeah. Well, we do have poets in town, and we do have some history of holding events on poetry at the library. We did have a poetry workshop in the summer, and we used to do an international poetry event, which I hope we can start up again. That was just a fabulous event. It was hybrid, so it was live and Zoom. We had local poets in the library, and we had poets from around the world through Zoom. So we had people from Japan and Africa and Germany and Greece and just all over the place. It was really fascinating, and I hope we can get that going again. So we have this history of sort of doing poetry events at the library.
Should give that a go, too. For us, we have some adult programs. We have our tried and true, you know, book groups, our cookbook group, our summer club. They're all continuing as normal. We have How to Create Winter Interest in Your Garden, which I'm very excited about. That's going to help people either plant plants that will not necessarily, you know, blossom in winter, but may change interesting colors in the winter.
Right.
And things of that nature, putting in, like, maybe other items besides plants in your garden, so that way you still have a structural visual interest when there's not, you know, blossoms and leaves on them. We're also gearing up for October. October is going to be a very big month at this library. We always joke that September is our quiet month, and it's just like someone flicks a switch, and all of a sudden, everything just starts happening again. On October 11th, we're having a Light Up Windmills workshop with Cassie Searcy, I believe her name is pronounced. I apologize if that is incorrect.
What is that?
They're going to be wiring windmills, so when the wind spins the windmill, it will light up.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than it sounds. I'm not doing it justice. It's really neat. We've had her come once before where they made little solar powered robots. So this is kind of akin to that, and you're going to be able to take them home, which is always exciting.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah.
The second last week in October, we have a bunch of different things going on in the library. The library has a referendum coming up, so we're going to be hosting an open house again on October 21st from 5 to 6 and October 25th, 11 to 12, where people can come in and talk to a board member or volunteer and ask questions and just see what the library is about. The bulk of our community, we do have over 1,000 members of our community, are library card holders. We're very excited about that. But that does mean out of just under 3,000, there's some people that don't. So we want them, encourage them to come in and see what the library is about. It probably has changed since the last time they came in, and just to learn more.
One of the entities in town, the Cornwall Association, has a newcomer's tea for people who are new to the area. I'm looking now. So this year it's going to be on October 4th in the afternoon at the library. And that's an opportunity for us to get to know people who have moved to town recently and maybe get them to sign up for a card, or, you know, but a lot of entities are there, that, you know, the association's there and the Historical Society is there. There are a lot of people there to talk to. But
oh,
it is
so
a good day for us to meet the new people in town and entice them in.
Yeah. I don't know. It's always I feel like we've gotten a lots of new members, especially over the summer, and September being library card sign up month. We, you know, I think we all just as a community kind of start getting gravitated towards the library, especially at the beginning of the school year. But it's always nice to have something that encourages them to come in and just, you know, nose around and see what's what.
Right. Absolutely.
And then on the 24th, we're having a candidate forum. This is something we've done on and off the last several years. Some election cycles just don't lend themselves. Either people are running unopposed or there's availability issues. But we've done this for a number of years where we invite the local candidates that are on the ballot to come and meet the public and talk about their opinions and let the public ask them questions. This year, we're opening it up to Dutchess County candidates that are on the ballot. We're still getting the finalized list, so I can't say, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so are coming from the different elections.
Mm-hmm.
But it has always been remarkably civil and very productive for our community. It makes me very proud that we, as an organization, can do this and our community participates. And it has always been civil, even in not-so-civil times. So we're very excited to be able to host that again. I think we're up to 9 candidates this year.
Wow, that's so much for all kinds of offices in your town.
Yep. Town, village this year, the village has a different election cycle, so there's no one from the village, but town and the county. So it's going to be packed.
That's pretty impressive.
So that's on October 24th at 6 p.m. And then the next day, on October 25th, we're having our very first repair cafe. We're hosting it. Other members of the community had pulled it together and going to come and repair people's items. We're so excited. People
like
are allowed
to... What kind of things do people bring in to have repaired?
Well, this is our first one, so I'm curious to see if we trend like everybody else. But historically, at these people can bring in lamps that need rewiring or some other electronic that might not be working quite right, sewing, mending... they'll have a knife sharpener there to, you know, sharpen your kitchen knives and different things like that. So we're all kind of excited to see what comes in. I think there might be someone repairing jewelry. I know they were looking for someone. So there's a list on our website where if you go and click on it, there'll be all the different things. And people are allowed to bring 2 items, and we'll help you learn how to fix them and help you fix them while you're there. So not only are you getting the item repaired, you're going to be learning how to do it yourself if something like that happens again.
That's fantastic. What a great idea.
Yeah. It's they've been popping up in the Hudson Valley a lot. This is like a national organization.
And it's called Repair Cafe?
Yep. I know Aminia had one last year, and I know you see them more often in the river cities, like, you know, Rhinebeck,
mm-hmm.
Red Hook,
mm-hmm.
those uptowns. So we're very excited to have one on this side of the county.
Yeah, I might look into that. I think that sounds exciting.
I'm sorry.
A big event coming up in October that I'm very excited about. The title is Confused by the News, you know, with a question mark. And I had this idea that that people feel really uncertain about how to interpret the news, like what's real, what's not real, how do you make those decisions, how to... Journalists make those decisions. So we have 3 prominent journalists who are going to come to the library and give their thoughts on how they interpret information they receive and how they decide whether or not it's trustworthy. And then they're going to talk among themselves for a while, and then we'll take questions from the audience. And I'm hoping we get a lot of people in a nice set of diverse questions about the news and, you know, what's a trustworthy news source and what's not. So I feel strongly that it's nice that it's it's the proper role for a library to help patrons interpret information. You know, that's largely what we do, is provide information. Some of it's for entertainment, some of it's for, you know, for skill building or education, but we do provide information, and I'm hoping that this will be the start of kind of a nonpartisan attempt to interpret news sources for our patrons.
That's nice. So I feel like, I mean, it's the tales of old time. I feel like everyone, any time period, there's always difficulty finding out what's true in the news, but I feel like it's more difficult now than ever when you have, you know, AI writing the news, making video.
Right.
You know, there's, who's to say?
And some people can tell if AI has written the news. I can't tell. I haven't really studied. I haven't really tried to learn. But I've heard people say, "Oh, that was written by AI," and I don't really know. I mean, there's a lot to learn.
There's a lot for me to learn.
There's a lot for a lot of people to learn. So I'm hoping these journalists will be able to sort of guide us a bit.
I might slide in one more thing that I just remembered. We're having our Festival of Frights on Halloween with the Irondale Schoolhouse once again. We're still in the early stages of setting it up. I'm sure we'll have more organizations coming on, but that's going to be on Halloween from 5 to 7 p.m. over at by the Irondale Schoolhouse, right on Main Street. We're looking for people to sign up to give out candy for kids right now. So
that sounds fun.
It is so much fun. It's always a surprise of how many people we see. Last year, I believe the fire department was giving out hot dogs, and they gave out over 200 hot dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, I'm sure some people ate more than one, but that just kind of gives you an idea of how many people are coming.
That's a good crowd. We're doing a Halloween thing, too. We haven't quite finished pulling it together, but we usually have a pumpkin carving contest, which is a lot of fun. We get, like, you know, little kids will do, you know, very simple kind of thing. But sometimes we have adults who do the most elaborate, interesting pumpkins, you know, people's faces and, you know, recognizable characters. It's remarkable what people do, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm always amazed because I don't think in 3D like that. I'm always impressed when people can figure out how to sculpt a pumpkin into anything that isn't just triangles and a smile.
Right.
Nice chatting with you today.
Nice talking with you.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com.